Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So this is the second first episode.
Second first? First second.
Well, this is like the first episode, but it's not the first episode because we had to do the coronavirus special stay-at-home one. So this is our first episode that we recorded. So we'll be talking like it's the first episode, but it's not. It's the second one.
Okay, now you've really confused me.
But then I guess really, when it's a podcast, you can listen to them at whatever order you want to listen to them anyway, can't you?
Well, you will do.
Once they're up.
They're up and out.
Once they're up and out, you can do what you like.
Do what you like with them. Ooh. Are we still talking about podcasts?
So, so this episode, we speak about why we... Well, no, we're not why we became single parents.
How we became single parents.
Because
we're losers. Because we're losers.
Just who we are and just general stuff, really.
Who are you?
It's quite a random conversation. I'm Amy.
And I'm Harry.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I'm Mum.
No, don't start that shit again. I'm Mum and you're...
Mama.
Good for you.
But yeah, so this is our first... This is the first one we ever recorded, so bear with us.
Bear with us.
We talk about kids and home security, as you do.
As you do.
Yeah, as you do. And classes that kids do.
Ah.
It's a whole world. And schools. I mean, there's a lot of ground covered, isn't there?
There needs to be.
Yeah. Parenting 101.
Well, we do quite a lot in a day.
We've
got a lot of hats.
Yes.
You know.
I haven't actually. I'm not very good with hats.
I've got a lot
when
of hats.
I was going to be a singer, because I was going to be a singer. Well, trying to be a singer.
Yeah.
My stylist, my very good friend Nicole.
Yeah.
My thing was going to be hats. So I do weirdly have a collection of hats,
too.
But I don't think that they really suit me.
No, they don't suit me. Only certain hats suit me.
Yeah. Baseball caps don't really suit me.
No.
But yeah.
But anyway.
Fun fact. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the first podcast. Please subscribe.
Subscribe.
Whether you like it or not, because to be fair, we're single parents, we need the help. And if you want to contact us, then you can.
On?
Social media.
On?
Mum and Mama Pod.
Is that Instagram?
Yeah.
Mum and Mama
and
Pod.
Twitter's just Mum and Mama. And then we have Gmail. Do people use emails anymore? Do they just DM each other on...
I don't know. Maybe they want to complain about something.
Oh, yeah. Don't complain about... Okay. Well, yeah. Oh, you know, if you want to complain, complain to us. Don't complain to Scroobius Pip.
No,
or Acast.
He'll go to town with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
So it's mumandmamapod@gmail.com.
Enjoy.
Enjoy. Hello.
Welcome.
Welcome. My name is Amy.
My name is Anne Harrod, but you can call me Harry.
Because no one can pronounce your real name.
That's right. But it is real, I promise you.
It's not Hagrid.
No. Or hand grenade.
Hand grenade?
Yep, hand grenade.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, this podcast... The reason why I wanted to do the podcast was because I'm a single parent, as is Harry.
Kind of.
It's complicated.
Yeah, it's complicated.
Always is. And I wanted to put something out there that kind of put a bit of a positive spin on it, I suppose, because there's so much negativity that surrounds being a single parent. But actually, I quite like my life and I'm quite happy in it. And I just wanted to let people know that things can be okay.
Yeah, and I think really from my perspective, I think it's a really positive thing to do to let other single parents, male or female, know that there is lots of support out there. There's lots of positive things you can do for yourself and for your children and for your family unit.
Yeah.
And it's like connecting people to different like things that we know about.
Yeah.
That maybe when we had children, when we had babies, small kids, we didn't really know about. Because there wasn't, I mean, this kind of whole social media thing is, you know, it's now governs some of our life.
Yeah.
You know, like we find things on it. So for me, it's about spreading the word, spreading about things that we went through and connecting people.
And just, I think, to give people, if you are in a situation that you want to change and you think you can't really see the light at the end of the tunnel, that things don't have to be as bad as you anticipate them to be. Because I think a lot of people, unfortunately, do feel trapped in bad situations. But especially as a woman, financially, you feel trapped. Especially if you've stopped your career to have to look after the children.
Well, your career was fairly fairly interesting.
Anyway, talk about that. or you're not earning as much as you were because you've had to stop working as much. I know that was one of the things that crossed my mind was, well, I can't leave because I can't afford to support two kids on my own or, you know, but there is help out there.
There is help out there.
Yeah.
And just maybe just try to... Yeah, like this podcast isn't a serious podcast. You will hear some rather rude jokes, probably.
Well,
not from Amy, from
not
me.
Not from me. I'm just going to pause it there
pause
because
it
my
then.
Doorbell's just gone. My situation is I've got a very soon to be 9-year-old daughter and a 6-year-old daughter. And I've been a single parent for nearly 5 years now. So we parted ways when
way back when
Lola was she'd just turned 4 and Juno was 18 months and there was kind of a breakdown in the relationship, I guess is the best way to describe it. Initially it was more of a wake-up call for me to try and improve the situation, but that just didn't work basically. So after a few months, I realised that it was the split was going to be
permanent,
rather than just a temporary solution to a problem which didn't get fixed. So initially, I was just like, "Fuck, what do I?" I never thought in a million years I'd be a single parent. Like that was never. And I did. There were problems. I mean, every relationship has problems, but I did used to fantasise sometimes about.
What, being a single parent?
Well, not... Well,
or being on your own?
Yeah.
Being on your own with your kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I could never see... That was just a fantasy to me because I couldn't figure out how it could actually happen. Because I felt like I'd kind of made my bed. And I didn't think it was fair on the children to end the relationship, no matter if I was happy or not, you know.
Yeah, certainly.
We managed. We got on. We had a good relationship. It wasn't a terribly unhappy home. There were problems, but, you know, everyone has problems. But I didn't know how it was going to work. But then I was kind of forced into the situation, really. So I had to make it work. And there is help out there. Financially, there's help out there.
Yeah. And I think you had quite a good support system.
I've got a very good support system.
Your family they're all fairly local.
Yes,
and
they are.
And you guys are quite a tight-knit unit.
Yep.
so even if that decision was to end the relationship, you knew that your girls would have a lot of the support that they needed. Because I think we take for granted the feeling that, you know, obviously we're hurt, we're in pain, or, you know, feel elated, whatever you might feel. But children, regardless of how old they are, will still feel a sense of loss.
Yes.
Whatever that loss is, and however they can compute that as little ones. And I don't think we realize how much until later on when a child gets to sort of, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11 do we really see that effect.
Well, initially, I mean, Lola was very aware because she was 4, so obviously, I mean, she started school with Juno, she was 18 months, she didn't really have a clue what was going on. So we were lucky in that aspect. But with Lola, she kept asking the
where
questions
was,
is he coming home? I mean, at first he was just at work, you know, and he did work a lot anyway, so it wasn't really that unusual. But it took a while for the questions to stop with her. But again, it did really help. I am very fortunate in the fact that I have got, I'm very close with my family and they are close by. And also I have got a lot of very good friends and I don't know what I would have done without the support network that I have around me.
Yeah. And I think as women, we do tend to, when things like that happen, instead of getting out and, you know, sort of having connections with people, we tend to remove ourselves and we tend to become quite isolated.
Yeah.
And that's not a good, well, I guess it's what it is, but it can be quite difficult then to try and understand, you know, even if it is somebody that you don't know very well or in a play group or, you know, at school or at the school gates, is having sometimes a conversation. I've talked to a lot of different women who have had, you know, breakdowns in their relationships. And actually the most positive things to come out are that they talk with other women, other mothers, other, you know, even mums that are, you know, happily married can give another spin on a situation.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think it is really important to get out, as much as it's hard.
Yeah.
It's to get out and to try and, you know, make those conversations happen.
What was shocking to me was the amount of women that after the split happened, was the amount of women that confided in me and how unhappy they were.
Absolutely.
And how trapped they felt in the situation. Yeah. You know, there's so many people, unfortunately, there are a lot of people that feel the same.
I feel like that now, being your friend. I feel like, you know, I feel I need a help group.
So, but there are a few out there, actually, if you Google. Yeah,
I'm going to try. How to get out your friendship circle. So mine is a little bit different to yours. I had my child. He's now six, Idris, and very much a planned child through IVF. Very, very, very planned and very
wanted.
How
long did it take you?
About 11 years, I think, for the whole process. That I wasn't on IVF for the whole process for a whole of that time, but that was how long it took to have operations and to go through the process at NHS, and then to go back. I had two rounds and I was lucky on my second round. But, you know, he's very much wanted. We were in a stable relationship, and then it didn't work when Idris was born.
Yeah.
And I can't blame my partner for that.
Well, that's the thing, is you don't know how someone's going to be as a parent until they become a parent.
Absolutely.
And it's a shock.
It's a massive shock.
If they're not who you thought they were going to be.
Yeah, there's all this thing about, I think it shifts, the relationship shifts in terms of your priorities.
Yep.
Your time that you can give. I think you do take for granted when you don't have children how much time you've got.
Yes.
It's like you can't even now go to the toilet without a small child interrupting.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's actually quite shocking that from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed, all you hear is mum about 25,000 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do want to throw my child out the window sometimes. But, you know, that's not possible. But, yeah, so we kind of split. We have had...
How old was Idris when?
So, about 4 months old. Oh. Yeah. Wasn't very long. We'd been together for quite some time previous, but yeah, it just didn't work. And then I went back to Wales, and then I came back to London, and now we're obviously in a good place, but we don't live together.
Yeah.
So we are back together, but we don't live in the same house, which is sometimes quite complicated.
Yeah.
Because our co-parenting is, you know, we try to meet in the middle.
Yeah.
But he just does spend sometimes with Marvin, sometimes with me. It's nice that I get a break. Lovely.
Yeah.
So even when I speak to parents or mums that have, you know, they're married and their husbands are in the house or wives are in the house, they don't get that break.
Yeah.
I feel like the most positive thing as a single parent is that I get time.
Yes.
I do sometimes think on a Friday when it's time for Idris to go sometimes, shit, like, what the fuck am I going to do all weekend?
Yeah.
Like, I can't grasp that time. Yeah. And so, and I miss my kid. I miss my child.
It's a really funny situation, isn't it? Because it's really nice to not be mum for, you know, that day or those few hours or whatever, just when you haven't got to answer a million questions or think, right, what am I going to do for lunch? What am I going to do for this? What am I going to do for that?
Talk about poo all day.
Yeah. And what your favourite colour is for the 17,000th time that morning.
And paint a unicorn.
But I really miss them.
Yeah, I do.
So it's really, it's hard.
It's very hard. And it's finding things to put within that time that you normally spend with your children or you spend trying to do an activity or you spend, like, you know, watching crap film or whatever it is. It gets quite tough. But I do think, like, trying to find your own hobbies is really positive.
Yes.
Trying to spend some time with your family and friends. Trying to, you know, get out in the fresh air, doing a bit of exercise is always good.
Yeah.
But I do try and use my time wisely. But I do like to rest.
Yeah.
I've just found that, you know, as you get older, you just want to just stay in the house sometimes in your pyjamas all day.
Oh, God, yeah.
Love that.
And just not do anything because it's full on, isn't it? School.
Love that.
School run every day.
Yeah.
Clubs.
Eating hot cross buns.
Oh, yeah.
Toasted. With warm butter.
In the oven.
Lovely.
But that was, I remember when obviously we split and the girls went with their dad for the first few times, that I found that really hard because I'd been a mother. I'd been pregnant or a mum for the last, what, 5.5?
Yeah.
6 years probably. And then it was like, who am I? I didn't know who I was.
No, I just got shit-faced a lot. I've had a lot of hangovers.
Yeah.
And now I couldn't think of anything worse to do in that time. But I mean, that's the transition of, like, not forcing things. Like, you go out and you know, you take it to the limit because you're so emotional.
Yes.
And there's so many things going on inside that turmoil. So you just do anything you can to just, you know, get over it. And then the next day you've wasted a day anyway, and it doesn't really matter because then the kid comes back on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Whereas now I couldn't think of anything worse to do than waste my precious time on my own to go out and do that.
Yeah.
Because then I'm not, like, then I get to Sunday night and, you know, it just comes back. And then I'm in work on Monday.
Yeah.
And I've lost that time.
Yeah.
I've lost all of that, you know, those moments where I could be doing something positive.
That was just my 20s, though. That was literally my 20s. Just
that was last week for me.
Getting smashed. And then just not doing anything because I had to recover. I mean, that literally was my life. And now I can't believe I wasted so much time. Now I haven't got any. Like, I could have gone to the cinema every day.
I don't think I'd like to do that.
I could do that.
I don't have the patience for that.
But yeah, I mean, that was, for me, that was the hardest thing was I had to, all of a sudden, I wasn't in a relationship. Not that I, to be fair, I'm not a relationship person anyway. Like, that was my longest ever relationship
with the girl's dad. I can tell you like to swipe left and right quite a lot, don't you? You've downloaded quite a lot of apps recently, Amy. The old bunny's going up there.
but you think that's your life, isn't it? I've had my kids, I've got my partner.
Yeah.
That's me for the next.
Yeah, then you have to navigate everything. Mm-hmm. Everything is about navigating on your own.
Yeah.
So that's from, you know, finding a suitable home for your family, paying for it, working, shopping, doing all the school stuff. Like, it's just every single part of your life is dictated by you.
Yeah.
That's it.
But then, to be fair, I pretty much did everything anyway. I think I was in charge. I took the lead on everything.
You were the man.
I was the mum.
Yeah.
You know, I made sure all the finances were in order.
Right. So you took control of your family.
I took control. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I've always worked because I'm.
I think a lot of mums do. Though,
I think a lot of mums do. And that's another thing that you find.
It might look like or appear to be the man's role to do certain things. But actually what goes on in the house is very much ruled and governed by the woman, by mum.
So I don't, when people are like, oh, it must be so hard, I'm like, yeah, but I think a lot of people, even when they are still with their partner, they still do everything anyway.
Of course they do.
They just have the financial support.
Yeah.
Because it's two incomes rather than one. So now I need to buy somewhere. I mean, we live in East London, so it's crazy money around here to buy anywhere. But ideally, I would like to buy somewhere. Yeah. I mean, I'm 42.
You're bloody
it would be
old.
Nice to own a house, not where I live, you know, and I'm going to have to move out a bit further. But
then again,
how do you get a mortgage on one income? And I work from home. I've got quite a lot of different jobs, but they're all really part time because I've got the kids to look after.
Oh, no, you love going around that pole.
Do you know the amount of times I've considered
different
I could
career
do
paths?
Yeah, money
or extra income.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing.
Because I can't, if I went out and got like a proper job, you know, 9 to 5, I've got to pay the childcare, haven't I?
No, and that's not viable.
No.
That's not. I mean, I'm only lucky because I've got a good job and I can, I've got the support of my partner. And we financially split it, but it's a real big thing. When I think that would be the only thing that I would say would be the hardest to get from that point where you split to the point where you feel like you can manage your money.
Yeah.
I think that's a hard transition. Yeah. I don't think it's impossible. I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's hard. And it's like harder to understand. Right, I've got that much coming in, I've got that much going out, and I need to kind of start saving. I need to teach the kids how to start saving. And then if I've got anything at the end, that obviously can be for me. But really, you don't really have a lot of that at the end.
No.
That's the big thing, because it always goes on, you know, you've got school trips that now cost a lot of money. You've got school uniforms that are branded.
Yeah.
You've got loads of things to consider. Like, you know, bills are going up, rent is going up, mortgage payments are going up, insurance is going up. So it's like, it is managing your money in a more streamlined way. Whereas before it was very much, you could spend and spend and didn't really matter. And obviously we're in, you know, when you get to your 40s, you know, there is a bit of debt there that you have to consider.
Yep.
And that adds to it.
Yeah.
Food shopping, expensive. You know.
Everything's expensive.
You make your own bread.
I do make my own bread.
It's like the good life over here.
I've been meaning to grow vegetables for the last 10 years, but I still haven't got around to doing that.
Well, you've got a nice bucket of flowers out there, darling.
I've got a nice bucket of flowers.
Lovely.
I get that a lot.
Very nice. I bet you do. Lovely flowers. No, but it's a hard transition, not impossible.
Yes,
it's not impossible.
And there is help. Yeah. There is help and support. I mean, for me, there should be a lot more help and support, but there is some. So.
Yeah. And I do think by asking, you know, other single parents who are in a similar position, and, you know, you say about the childcare aspect of it, like, seeing how other people do it, because we all do it very differently.
Yes.
You know, your situation is different from mine. However, sometimes when you hear how another person manages it, it then makes your decision, like, well, am I ready to do it that way?
Yeah.
Or am I going to lose out? Or am I going to, you know, I think the nice thing about what you could do is you get to pick up your children and take them to school every day.
Yeah.
And there's more of that conversation on the way to school, because it's more about their well-being. It's more about, are they happy? It's more about, you know, they get a lot of interaction. Whereas I do feel sometimes that parent guilt that my child is in breakfast club, after school club, and then I get to see him at 6 o'clock in the evening.
What time does he go? What time does that all start?
8 o'clock in the morning.
So he gets dropped off at 8.
He gets dropped off at 8 and they take him, they walk him to school.
Yeah.
And then he walks back to the after school club and then he gets a hot meal and then I pick him up for like 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess he's a single child on his own. So for him, he just sees it as a positive because he gets to kick about with his friends.
Yeah.
For a couple of hours after school, and he gets to go into a gym and, you know, and play silly games. Whereas if he was home with me, he wouldn't be able to do that.
Well, that's the girls are always saying, you want to go to Breakfast Club or we want to go to After School Club.
So always, you always yeah. want what you can't have. And then when you put them in that situation, sometimes they don't want to be in it.
Yes. Well, exactly. The grass is always greener, isn't always. It? Always. Well, like, yeah. They're always having to go. Because obviously, so I do, I work from home, which is wonderful because I get to be a, I'm a full-time mum and I work.
Mm.
You know, I can do both. So I do really appreciate that because I do want to be with the kids as much as I can be.
Weirdo.
I know. I know. But also, it's really hard because I don't actually ever stop working because I have to. I have a certain amount of work that I have to do.
Yeah.
And I have to do it around the stuff that I have to do with them. I mean, you could just have kids and not do anything else and still not have enough hours in the day for everything that, you know, it's crazy the amount of work that they generate.
Because then you have to then decide what's a priority.
Yeah.
So is a clean house a priority? Is giving them a healthy cooked meal a priority? Yeah. Is making them look nice and smart a priority?
Yeah.
Is making them, you know, really well-rounded educationally and, you know, in terms of their manners, is that a priority? That we can't do everything.
Yeah.
It's impossible. Because you don't have enough hours.
No, there's not enough hours in the day.
You don't have enough
And the hours. Girls, they're always, they moan at me a lot for working. I don't have enough time for them. Right. But I was like, but if I went out to work, you'd get dropped off in the morning at 8 o'clock in the morning. I wouldn't pick you up till 6 o'clock. Then I'd still have to come home and do
some extra bits.
I'd have to do the dinner. I'd have to do the washing. Yeah. I'd have to, you know, I'd still have to do all the other stuff that I have to do. It's not like I'd just be spending the whole time playing because I wouldn't have anything else to do.
I think that's the one thing for me which really did make me want to do the after school club that I've got. So they have Breakfast Club and they get breakfast there.
Yeah.
So that's all given to them and it's, you know, hot toast and jam and tea and all the rest of it. But when they come back, they have a hot meal. And that hot meal consists of, like, you know, it's a quite a balanced meal.
Yeah.
But it's filling.
Yeah.
And then they read with them. So really their ethos is when the parent picks up the child, all they've got to do is put them to bed.
Yeah.
And I think that's, for me, that was what made me want to go with that after school club.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't have come home at 6 o'clock and considered cooking a meal.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't bloody eat until 7 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I know he comes back and asks for another dinner, but...
Yes, you
know,
that's
by the by. If I said no, I still would know.
Yeah.
He'd have a big meal, you know, with a pudding. He's got a fruit.
They're always asking for food. It doesn't matter what they've eaten. No, they're always hungry.
Exactly.
Constantly.
And I think he's got worms. He reckons he's got a parasite, but... maybe. But yeah, there's different reasons why you go with different places. And for me, the reading and the hot food of an evening was just basically so that I didn't have to then pick him up and do it.
Yeah.
That's the reason. And I actually quite like him. I actually quite like it, how the system works. It has taken about, I'd say, 9 months to really... bed in the system and you know, the schedule and know what I'm doing. Because sometimes when you're working, my job can take me all around the borough.
Yeah.
So I'm not in one place all the time. So when I drop my child off at 8 o'clock, it's like, right, now I've got to think about work and where I'm going and blah, blah, blah. And it's just nice to know that I'm, you know, he's going to be taken care of. I can concentrate on work. And I do work sometimes when I come home, but it's not very often now. I really do try to work between those hours and then that's it. The rest of the time is with my son.
Do you feel guilty
sometimes
for working?
Yeah, although I'm quite lucky. My employer is quite flexible. So I can, you know, I can take Idris to school on a Tuesday and pick him up and then work afterwards.
Yeah.
And then on a Friday I can do the same.
Yeah.
And then work from home. But yeah, I'm very, very... I'm very lucky.
Yeah.
Not everybody has that.
Yeah.
But that's why, again, before we transitioned from nursery to school, that I chose to go for another job that had that flexibility.
Yeah.
So I had to almost plan.
How old was Idris when you went back to work then?
So I was, he was, I think he was about 17. I think it was about 17 months, 16, 17 months.
Yeah.
I was quite lucky. I had some holiday.
Yeah.
So I had the full maternity and then I had a few months over and a little bit more. I was very, very lucky. Very lucky. Because I felt like...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
I wasn't ready. This is my first child.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready to sort of let him go to somebody.
Yeah.
At 12 months.
Yeah.
10 months. No way. I would have been so alien to me.
Yeah.
I wanted to, you know, I was still breastfeeding up until he was two.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I chose to go with a childminder rather than a nursery.
Yep. So did they come to your house or did you take them to there?
I took him, yeah. And there was other kids there.
Yep.
And it was quite close to where I worked. And it just fitted our lifestyle.
Yeah.
And then at two, you went into nursery. And that was amazing because I'd already pre-planned what nursery I wanted him to go to. But these are all the things that, you know, regardless if you're a single parent or if you're, or, you know, you're in a relationship, a partnership, you have to do these things anyway.
Oh, it's crazy.
I mean, like, I was shocked that you have to, when you're pregnant, you have to start thinking about a nursery or a school.
When I was pregnant with Lola, I went to a party, like a local party. Mm. Birthday party, and a woman was sitting there telling me about how she at the school, there's a lot of private schools around where we live, very nice.
Yeah,
it's quite a nice area. I don't know
about where you live.
I don't know how we got to live here.
I think you've brought it down a bit.
But she was saying that people put their names on the people put their child's names on the waiting list while they're still inside their mum.
Yeah, I did.
So that they haven't had the baby yet. The baby doesn't actually. It's not a human.
No. That's what
existing outside in the world, and their name's on a waiting list for a school.
That's what I did.
So I'm sitting there pregnant thinking, oh.
Sugar.
Have I got to start thinking? I mean, not that my children are going to private school, but, you know, I was like, I can't, what the hell are you? I just thought this woman was mad.
But that's not private.
That's what's around here.
But that's not even private nurseries. I went to just a normal nursery and I went.
This was a school.
Yeah.
This is a school. Not even nursery. Nurseries, you have to, before you get pregnant, you have to start thinking about nurseries. Yeah,
that's crazy, isn't it?
It is crazy. And I feel because obviously, like, you have your Facebook local groups.
Yeah, but what if you make the wrong decision? Because sometimes you don't base your choices on your child. You base your choices on your wants and desires.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's swayed by the most ridiculous things. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it really should be about how your child and the things that your child needs rather than what you need. But sometimes it doesn't work out like that. Yes, yeah, it's crazy to have to.
But that's a really good point, actually, because if around here, like the nurseries that do take the kids in before and after work kind of thing, but there is a lot of waiting lists.
There is.
But if you, so you've been on a waiting list for 18 months, you get your space, and then actually you don't like it or your child doesn't like it.
Then what happens?
What do you do? Because you can't move it to another nursery because you've got to be on another waiting list.
Yeah, no, and that's the realities that we live in. that is round here. And that's with schools, that's with, you know, primary, secondary schools. Like, flipping heck, we might as well be thinking about schools right now. Because that, I don't know whether, you know, the system here is not about, it's not about, you know, whether that system or that school or is right. It's whether you live in a certain, like, vicinity or catchment area, which is, you know.
We are very lucky. Redbridge has got very good schools.
It has. But that wasn't something that I ever experienced. I'm coming from Wales. Like, that was never, that's an alien notion to me.
Yeah. So you just go to your local school, don't you?
Or you get driven to the school that your family are connected to or they've been to or, you know, the local neighbour or your mum went to. It's like that's part, and they're all usually village schools.
One form entry.
Yep.
Yeah.
Four people in it.
Yeah.
Speaking Welsh.
All cousins.
All cousins.
Yeah. Did you go to school in, did they speak Welsh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. Tip it back. It's a little bit of Welsh for you on a Friday morning. I didn't learn English until I was about 8 or 9.
Wow.
So, yeah, I was a Welsh girl, I was. And then learn English, all goes downhill.
Yeah.
Move to London. That was it. Yeah. Have a child.
But then that's, you know, it is ridiculous that you have to think about schools and,
and don't even start getting me on clubs.
No, clubs.
Kids and clubs.
That's another tough
thing. Kids clubs.
When you're on your own.
Well, that's what I find difficult, actually, is the...
Did you do any clubs when you were a kid?
Absolutely loads of
clubs. Oh, did you?
Oh, my God. My mum will tell you, yeah, absolutely loads. I did. Ballet, tap, jazz, drama, hockey, rugby, trombone... Violin, piano, athletics. I did everything.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, did it all.
But when you were in primary or when you were in, like, senior school?
When we started in primary.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't do any. I did piano lessons. And that's it.
That says a lot. No, we did everything. Yeah.
Oh, because I was going to say, like, I think it's crazy the amount of stuff that kids do nowadays, but you obviously did it when you
I tell you what kid. I do find crazy.
Do you still play the trombone?
Yeah, I've still got my trombone. I can belt out a number.
I would like to see that.
I can. And I was told I had fairly large lungs. So that was, you know, that was always a good
served look. You well.
Yeah, obviously. But I do think the cost involved in these clubs is sometimes phenomenal. And because they do it by term, it basically means that they, you know, when your child gets to the end of that term, they want to do it again, so you've got no choice. Whereas sometimes I think if they put it on a direct debit and you paid a monthly amount, that would make it more sustainable for some parents, because I find it having to, at the start of the term, you're shelling out 400 quid for a bloody club. And it's like,
I've got two of them.
And you've got two of them.
It is.
Shell them, one of them. Sell them. Yeah. Sell them.
Well, I was just going to pick my favourite and let them do.
Yeah, I would. Who's that? Putting you on the spot, isn't it? Yeah. This is recorded. This will be out there forever.
They always ask me who's their favourite, and I always say, who's got more money?
Yeah.
And I'll look at your savings.
Let me look in your pocket.
But it's hard because we do swimming, but I'm like, you've got to learn how to swim, and that's it.
Yeah,
so they've got to do swimming, and they do jiu-jitsu, which I want them to do because it's exercise, and I just want to have that confidence when they go out into the world that if, God forbid, they ever get into a situation, they can hopefully just get away from that person.
Yeah, totally.
You know, that's all I want. I just want to have that confidence, and I think it's important for them as well just to have that ability. I'd love to be able to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'd love to. I actually looked at trying to do a class, but again, obviously with my situation, you can't do stuff of an evening.
No.
So I've got to do something while they're at school, basically. Yeah. And
there's no, those kind of clubs don't exist.
No.
No.
Well, there was actually one in Shoreditch, but it was too much money.
Yeah, I was going to say £30 an hour.
Yeah. I was like, no, I'm not doing that. Yeah, so they do that, and piano as well, they do, which I want them to do, because it's nice to be able to play an instrument. I've got a piano in my house because I used to play, and Lola made me bring it when we moved because she was going to learn how to play it, so she's learning how to play it.
Yeah. And do they use it?
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Yeah. They need to do it more.
Yeah.
I bought it. It was my mates who lived locally. It was her nan passed and she was like, does anyone want her piano? I was like, yes, I'll have it.
It's quite a big thing to...
It's massive. But I my place before we lived here was quite big.
Yeah, yeah.
But I still haven't... My aim was to learn how to replay, but I still haven't actually...
Haven't done it.
No, because I haven't got any time.
I know.
I've got two kids and five jobs.
Totally. Well, Idris does swimming, same as you.
Yep.
And but he can swim, but he's still, you know, I just think
they've got to be able to get pyjamas from the bottom of the pool, haven't they? That's what I mean.
Yeah. To be honest, he loves swimming.
Yeah.
He loves being at a pool every week. So half an hour of his life, he loves it.
Oh, that's good.
He absolutely loves it. He does dance by accident. I booked him in, rather boisterous child, into a dance, tap, jazz and ballet class. And he's come out absolutely loving
wicked.
It. He did say to me this morning, Mum, if we had an Alexa in the house, I would ask for the Spice Girls. Zigga Zigar. I said, okay, I think I have to rethink the dance. And he does jiu-jitsu, but only because I like it for, he's quite an energetic child, and I do think it's good for his ability to kind of stand still and listen and concentrate. Although... Yeah, we've not quite got to that stage yet, but he's been doing it for a little bit.
Yeah.
But those are the things he does. But I'd love him to be able to do, like, horse riding, because that's what I did.
Yeah.
I'd love to take him skiing, because, you know, I've never actually, that's the thing, I never did skiing, but I think he'd love it.
Yeah.
But they're like, you know, you do 1.5 lessons, it's like 50, 60 quid.
Horse riding is really expensive.
Horse riding is expensive. It's like 30, 40 for half an hour. Yeah. So then it all just adds up again, and it's just
and that whole it's the whole thing with horse riding as well, because it's all the gear and
I know,
you know,
totally
the number of horse.
You can't just go and get it from Asda,
and plus you've got to get up really early in the morning.
Oh, I don't mind that.
Oh, I do.
Oh, he wakes up about 6 o'clock anyway.
Oh, God, I won't have that.
Woke up at 5:30 this morning.
Oh my God,
trying to creep in my room, getting in my bed. Yeah. That's another thing that you get. The kid that wants to sleep in your bed and put his arm up your top. It's like the night intruder.
Juno still sleeps with me. She won't get out of my bed. But I don't mind.
No.
I co-slept. They've slept with me since I were babies.
Yeah, so mine, but no.
Lola went out and she's, you know, she doesn't want to sleep with me anymore.
No,
sometimes she does, but Juno's still, she's still my baby.
Oh, he sleeps in his bed. He might come in at about 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. Oof. It's that, yeah, and then the hand goes up. And then, you know, and then it comes round. It's like, and then the thumb goes in and he's asleep again. But yeah, I don't mind that. I just couldn't sleep with Idris, like, for all night. He'd drive me nuts. Kick me in the head.
See, the girls were always all right, but it's just got... More recently, that Juno's more fidgety and I get punched a few times. But then, to be fair, I'm quite good at sleeping. That's one of my specialities, sleeping. No. I don't really tend to wake up.
Don't you?
No.
Oh, I'm a very light sleeper. Oh, I am. I always think, like, there's somebody outside or there's somebody coming through my window.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess that's... Another thing that you've got to contend with, you know, when you're on your own.
Well, I got an alarm.
Oh, have you?
But that was literally one of the bleeding mums groups on Facebook.
See, those
it's
mums
groups. Doom and gloom. But I mean, there are a lot of break-ins around here. And there was just so many stories going up about people trying to get in the house when people are in the house.
Yeah.
Telling them to, you know.
Yeah.
Don't try and break in.
Don't.
Just trying to thought, and I thought, I don't want to be in a situation where it's the middle of the night, someone's trying to get in my house, or someone gets in the house, and I've got the girls.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in that situation. So I thought, if I get an alarm, then it's a deterrent.
Yeah. No, totally.
Do you know what I mean? So that's the only reason.
Yeah. I haven't actually got an alarm on my house, But I do have gates, and I'm the only one with gates in my little cul-de-sac. Yeah, and now, because I'm like the only one with gates, I now sort of thought, that might appear to be quite like a bit of a target. Like I've got something.
Yeah.
So now I have started to open it, but it's I don't know. It's like the fear of the unknown. Oh, I can't have my gates closed, but if I have them open, I don't sleep as well. So it's like it's a really sort of funny situation to be in. But I've never had any problems.
No, I haven't.
Touch wood.
Yeah.
Touch wood.
Touch my head.
Yep.
I don't think that I'm going to get robbed. And I haven't got anything. I've got my computer that I work on.
Got your pussy.
Got my pussy, yeah. But I don't have jewellery. No. I don't have, my TV's 15 years old. Like, I haven't got anything that anyone's going to get any money for anyway.
Got a porcelain cat.
I've got a porcelain cat. That's not porcelain, that's a lamp.
Oh, is it a lamp?
That's a lamp. It's not porcelain, is it?
I don't know.
Nah.
Or is it plastic?
I haven't got, But yeah, I haven't got anything worth, and to be fair, they could take whatever.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit. It's just, I don't want the kids to be scared by someone, or I don't want someone breaking it. That's what I don't want.
Yeah, because I think that's what happened to me. We were burgled when I was younger, and that's what gives me the fear.
Yeah.
That's the fear of the breaking. And being sort of having that confrontation with a man.
Yes. Well,
because it always is. And how to get around that. How do you deal with that situation? And I know around here, they do it, you know, that they target places.
Yeah, they do.
They don't do it because they're just trying it out.
No.
They do it because it's targeted. And around here, there are a lot of nice properties.
There are a lot of nice properties.
You know, nice cars outside.
Yeah.
And they think, oh, well, there's something inside. So regardless, you know, and I know around here is one of the worst.
But that's, I think, because obviously I don't live in one of the fancy big houses and I haven't got a fancy car outside. Like, I think maybe they know that they're not good.
Yeah.
And I mean, all the time as well, which is, you know, if anyone were to be looking, as I know that they do because a couple of my neighbours
have been targeted. Oh, yeah, they come to the house, don't they? Mind you, when they see you going out in your Tims, they probably think,
they're Air Force.
She probably thinks, she thinks she's in a 90s like R&B group.
I wish I was in a 90s R&B group.
Let's leave her alone.
I don't feel vulnerable.
No,
but
I just
think it's good to...
Not vulnerable per se. Not vulnerable as in something's going to happen. There are moments when you're turning off the lights and the kids are asleep, there are moments where I'll think, right, like I might just go through the house. Or I might just leave the light on tonight, or I might, you know, I leave the light on for Idris in the bathroom so he can go to the toilet without getting scared. There are certain things I'll do so that I don't feel vulnerable.
Yeah.
And there are points that I might do, and that's, you just got to get, or you got to get on with it. And yes, those mums groups are a bit of a haven for scaremongering.
Posting the bad.
Everybody does.
Stuff, don't they?
The bad stuff when they start posting pictures of.
With all the videos from the doorbells.
Oh no, ring things. That's why
I did think about getting one of them.
I thought about getting one. I think I might get one.
Well, I can't see through my front door. That's the thing, is I can't see who's there.
What, because you're so small?
Yeah.
Because you're a midget.
Because I'm a midget. Well, there's no spy hole.
Okay.
And it's not, the glass is frosted, like I can see the colour of the person's coat.
But that's about it.
But I can't see who it is.
Oh.
But then I was like, yeah, but then...
I don't know. Then
again, I don't know if it looks
you're
like I've got then, stuff that's...
And then you're governed by your phone.
Yeah, constantly.
So even if somebody drops or walks past or walks up to you next door, like sometimes, I don't know, sometimes I think then it's, I don't know, just always going to be.
And I don't want to live in that world. That's the thing.
I don't either.
It's, you know, in, do you know what I mean? I quite like my very naive, happy bubble that I live in.
Yeah, I'm actually quite happy with just, I mean, we'll probably, we live in London, so the realities are you're going to have to consider, you know, all these safety aspects, and that might be to get a ring doorbell. I might not be to, you know, look at other people's posts on Facebook, but definitely. And then as your children get older as well, you know, just the same. I think I was talking to somebody yesterday, a parent yesterday, about their child walking to school, and they got a letter when their child was 8 about walking home from school
on their own.
That,
like, we got load of bought a letter home saying if you want your child to walk home on their own, then you need to sign this
at permission. 8 years old.
But I think that they just have put the letters out, so if you do want your child to walk home, then you can let them know that that's okay.
But 8,
I think they just put them out across the board.
Wow. I just think,
but Lola was like, yeah, come on. I was like, there's no way in the world. But I'm more, she has to cross that main road.
That's what this lady was saying yesterday. She was saying that her child is very sensible, 8-year-old, you know, always like doesn't mess about when she's walking. The thing that she worries about the most is the roads.
Yes.
And the fact that when they walk to school, it's the busiest time of build up of traffic. And if she was to, you know, sort of use the crossings and go out into the road and a car doesn't stop, then there's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And I just think 8 is just too young.
I think eight's, well, it all depends on circumstance and location, I think. But for me, there's no way Lola's walking to school on her own.
Who walks you to school?
Doesn't have to anyway.
Who walks you to school?
Who walks me to school? My neighbour.
Does your mum?
Yeah.
Does Babs come up?
Well, when I got driven to school, because we live too far away from...
I think I did.
...the school. So we all got driven.
And then I did walk when I was... I'm sure I was about 10. It was about 10 or 11.
No, I always got driven.
It definitely wasn't 8.
No. I mean, I'm so lucky that we can walk to school.
Yeah.
Especially in London.
Mm.
And we haven't got to deal with parking and driving around school, which is an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, no, I couldn't do that.
But Lola wants to walk to school when she's in year 6, so she'll be like 10, 11.
I think that's fine.
That is fine, but then I've still got Juno. But then Lola's like, I'll take Juno.
Well, she could walk ahead. Or you could say, you know, you can walk 5 minutes. 5 minutes before you walk, you start walking, and then I'll walk with Juno.
See, it's making me feel anxious thinking about this already.
But she'll 10 or 11 is a good age to get them then to walk to school, because obviously they'll go to big school.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't
it? So that's fine. If she walks ahead of you, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
And you know, you'll see her maybe walk into school, or that's fine, but... You know, Lola was a sensible child.
She's very sensible.
She is. And she'll be even more sensible at 10, 11 than she will be at 8, 9.
Yeah.
It's a few years yet.
Yeah.
And you can start to, you know, maybe start to now, she's going to be 9, maybe now start to, like, really drill home some of the things on the walk. Maybe start, you know, talking about some of the dangers on the way.
Yeah.
And just make her understand it's not that you don't want her to walk to school or have her own independence. It's just that you're thinking about other things that could happen to her.
Yeah.
That are unrelated to her as a being. So the things, like, people drive really fast around here.
And people don't look. No. I mean, I always remember, I mean, I've got a bright yellow camouflage jacket. I know it's camouflage, so you might be hard to see me, but it is bright yellow. And people just don't stop.
They don't stop.
When I had the girls, I had a bright yellow bugaboo. I'd be in the queue at the post office and someone would come and stand in front of me.
Yeah, no.
People don't see.
No, they don't.
Women.
They don't.
When you're over a certain age or if you've got kids. Yeah. It's like, are you kidding?
No, I know.
A bright yellow fucking pram.
They don't. Oh, they do, but they don't want to take it in. They don't. They might see it as an opportunity.
I just think you become invisible.
And also I think when people drive, I think they're rushing to get somewhere. Yes,
yeah.
And, you know, everybody's rush at 8:30, everybody's rushing to get either to school or work or into the car or kids in the nursery. And then people just don't take care of their own personal space or what they're doing. And that, I mean, I couldn't ride around here on a bike.
Oh, God, no.
It, like, gives me a heart attack.
Yeah.
Gives me, like, anxiety watching them, because It's just, it's, there's so many dangers.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I do love walking my child to school.
I love walking my children to school. And I especially love it when they moan.
Mm. Oh, well, you like it when they moan.
Oh.
Oh, I don't get that.
No, they don't. So they happy. Don't moan because they we've always walked to school. So that's sometimes if we're late, they'll be like, oh, can't we drive? I'm like, no. The amount of time it takes to get in the car, there's traffic around here anyway, and then I've got to find somewhere to park. It's, no. It's not really that much quicker.
You live about 7 minutes away.
It's a kilometre.
What's that?
It's I can do it. When I'm late, I can do it in 8 minutes.
It's a kilometre.
Yeah.
Harry, it's a kilometre.
It's a kilometre, yes. But with the kids, obviously, they've got shorter legs, believe it or not. But they scoot.
Yeah.
So we can do it. We can do it in 10 minutes. I mean, we're always late, but... that's never going to change.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So how do you think our first podcast went?
I think it went all right, actually.
Yeah? Well, it's quite nice that we could talk for 50 minutes without wanting to go to the toilet.
Oh, my God.
I know. You haven't been once.
I haven't been.
And you haven't blown your nose. And you haven't gone in your bag looking for imaginary items.
I haven't got my bag with me, that's why.
But I think our next instalment will be probably some funny stories.
Sex and drugs.
Sex, drugs and rock and roll.
Sex, drugs and pregnancy.
Oh, God. You didn't do drugs while you were pregnant.
God, no. You'll have to find out next time.
Next time on the podcast.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Toodaloo.
Bye.
Bye.
So. That was the second episode.
Yeah, the confusing one.
The confusing one. Sorry, about all the mouth noises, I would like to say. I meant to say that before. I make a lot of mouth noises. Mm-hmm. And you're never aware of how many mouth noises you make until you're recorded.
Do I make mouth noises?
No, I think it is just me.
It's you. Maybe, I don't know.
I think I have a lot of saliva.
Vile. Vile creature.
A very moist person. But yeah, so, and I kept saying the term, there's a lot of help out there. Basically,
I did. I can't even listen to my voice, so good for you.
Thanks. It's something I've come to live with.
What, help?
My Basildon accent.
Oh.
I could never listen to myself, but now I'm over it.
Yeah, well, you've got to be at
52. You've got a nice voice. Fuck off.
I know.
52. I'm 51.
Is it? And a half.
And a half.
That is your own lipstick, by
the
way.
Sorry, I'm just looking at my cup.
She thought that I didn't wash it. Can you believe
that? No, I didn't.
That?
I thought I'd left it because I just had a chocolate biscuit. I've got chocolate. I was going to lick it off.
Not off me.
I found shelter.
Okay.
When I first met up with my ex and I was like, how am I going to pay the rent on my own, considering that he earns more money because I've stopped working as much to look after the kids. And they gave me a great deal of advice.
Yeah.
Things have changed a bit, I know, with like the credits and because there's universal credit now. So the best thing you can do is if you're able to go online.
Or your libraries, your local libraries are a really good source of information. Oh. You can contact your local Job Centre Plus, which are really good.
Yeah.
Universal credits, yes, is coming in, I think, for a large amount of the population. It's here, but some are still on ESA and JSA. You can't actually apply for universal credits via your phone. It's via a desktop, which can be quite difficult for some people.
Yeah.
But I would advise either going into your local library, contacting your local job centre, or there's citizens' advice as well, which are really, really
if
good.
If you can find one that's open still.
Yeah, they're usually in libraries now, or in some boroughs in London have them now embedded into job brokerages, so local job sort of outfit, one shop, stop shop scenarios. But yeah,
I mean, we only have knowledge of London, don't we?
Yeah,
we don't have knowledge of outside. Well, you've probably might know a bit about Wales.
A bit about Wales, but things are
different everywhere. But if we can help you in any way, please contact us because we're happy to have a look.
We're happy to have a look, and we can go online. That's not a problem.
Yeah,
and if we don't know, somebody else will.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So yes, I hope you enjoyed it. Please subscribe.
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 And. Get in touch.
What we subscribe to?
Mum and Mama Pod.
Thank God for that. Who's
Mum? Mum and Mama. I'm Mum.
No, I'm Mum.
Mum and Mama Pod on Instagram. Mum and Mama on Twitter. Maybe I should have made it Mum and Mama Pod on Twitter as well, so it's all Mum and Mama Pod.
I don't know. Let's just see if Twitter, like, kicks off.
We've got to use it.
Oh.
If we don't use it, then nothing will happen with it anyway, will it?
Oh, yeah.
So we'll just see.
We'll see.
Yeah. Take care and see you next week.
Take care. Bye.
Work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.